You don't know what I've been through just to get here. That song came on the radio this morning as I was preparing for church, and it literally brought me to tears, because we are so judgmental of other people, and we don't know what they've been through. The young lady that came on the podium, I know some of you were looking at her like she was crazy, but every time she's been in a situation, she's come to this church, and Sister Moore has been the one that reached out to her. You don't know. What I've been through. Matter of fact, you don't even know what I'm going through right now. But you know, I'm here today to tell God thank you for seeing me through everything that I've already been through. Don't know. Amen. Amen. That's going to tie in the message somewhere down the road here. But that ministered to me this morning as I was getting ready. As I went over and went in the room and got my dad up and got him dressed and ready to start his day. Folk just don't know what you go through. They don't know what you deal with. And we're so judgmental of other people. But until you walked a mile in their shoes. Amen. You don't know what they're dealing with. And that's why y'all not be envious of other people. You don't know what they had to go through in order to get where they are. Amen. We started a message last Sunday that I want to conclude today entitled Coming Home the Hard Way. First chapter of Ruth. Beginning at verse number 12, first chapter of Ruth, thank you, verse number 12. I hope y'all brought y'all shouting shoes today. You act like you did. But about 5:30 this morning, my neighbors probably thought I was crazy, because I was shouting all over the house. Amen. Amen. My mama hollered in there, "Boy, you all right?" She said, "I'm just fine." Amen. Verse 12, "Turn again, my daughter. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her, and she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if ought not death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto him, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Amen. Again, coming home the hard way. We discussed last week that Naomi, her husband Elimelech, her two sons Mahlon and Chilion leave Bethlehem, which means place of praise. They leave due to a famine, and they journey to a pagan land, Moab, to what they thought was a better situation. While in Moab, her boys meet and marry Moabitish women, Ruth and Orpah. While in Moab, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, dies. Not long after he dies, her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, die as well. She is left by herself, no protector, no provider. She is destitute. She has no means of support. She's in a foreign land. She decides that it's time to go back home. She left home full. Now she's going back home empty. She left with a complete family. Now she faces the prospect of going back home alone. She does not expect her two daughters-in-laws to go back to Bethlehem with her, so she tells them, go back to your people. She says, I'm too old to meet Mary and have more sons. And besides, if I did, would you wait for them to be grown? And if you did, you would be too old for them by then. Go back to your people. Orpah, who was never all in the first place, and isn't it amazing how when trouble comes, when crisis hits, when you lose your job, when sickness invades your body or your family, you find out who's all in. When there's a little trouble at the church, folk who are not all in will leave the church because it was never really about the head of the church, which is Christ Jesus, as it was about your position and your power. How many know that a little trouble, a little controversy will weed out those who are really real and those who are not for real? Orpah decides, if you have no more sons, I'm going to go back to my people. But Ruth says, I've seen great faith in you. I've seen great strength in you. I've learned to love not only you, but I realize that your faith, your strength is not an outer strength. It's not an outer faith, but rather something on the inside. And so I've decided, based on what I've seen from you, don't make me leave you. Listen, she says, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people, even though I don't know them, shall become my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, I'll die. Where you buried, I'll be buried. They leave Moab. They return to Bethlehem. Naomi left one way. She left full, but now she's coming home empty. Her life has turned on her. She no longer wants to be called Naomi, but she says, call me Mara, which means bitter, for life that was once sweet is now bitter. And have you ever noticed that life can turn on you in a dime? Everything can be going good one day, and it can all change by the next day. You're smiling one day, but crying the next day. Got everything you want one day. Lose it all the next day. Got family one day. Lose your family the next day. Life is uncertain, and sometimes it's harsh and seemingly unfair. Naomi says, life has dealt me hard blows. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Myra. For life for me is now bitter. Lost my husband. Lost both my sons. No money. No means of support. No protection. I'm coming home, but I'm coming home the hard way. And to the young people in here today, that's why you ought to leave home the right way. Because your intention when you leave is to never go back home again. But I wish I could get two or three people who have left home vowing to never come home again. But life turned bitter for you, and you had no place else to go, no place else to turn. You found yourself back in the place you said you would never come back and live again. Leave home the right way. Don't leave home with an attitude. Don't leave home talking noise to your parents, saying, I hate it here. Listen, it can be good today, but rough and tough tomorrow. Don't have to come back home the hard way. Leave home the right way. Naomi says, I'm going back home. Ruth says, if you're going, I'm going with you. And I told you last week that every Ruth needs a Naomi, and every Naomi needs a Ruth. Every young woman needs an older woman to teach them how to be a woman. Naomi needed Ruth, but Ruth needed Naomi. Age needs the vitality of youth, but youth needs the experience of age. Naomi is going back home to Bethlehem, a place of praise. It's a 7 to 10 day journey through the Jordan River, up an elevation of at least 2,000 feet. The text says that when Naomi realizes that Ruth is steadfast in her decision to go, when she realizes all that she'll be facing, but she decides she's going to go anyhow, they stop talking to one another. It's a 7 to 10 day journey through the Jordan River, up an elevation of at least 2,000 feet, and they do it without talking to one another. I told you last week that the reason we don't get a whole lot of things done is we talk too much. We have too many meetings. All we do is talk. Nobody doing anything. We talk too much. They realize what's ahead of them, and talking is not going to get them to Bethlehem, but walking will. And a whole lot of us need to stop talking and start doing some more walking. You remember when the children of Israel were going to take the city of Jericho, don't you? God said to them, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to walk around the walls one time for 6 days. He said, now, on the seventh day, I want you to walk around it seven times. He says, but during those 6 days, he says, I want you to walk around the wall one time, but don't say nothing. Be quiet, just walk. Because God knew that they had a murmuring problem. If they started talking to one another, he knew they majored in murmuring. And if they started talking, they would start creating doubt among the ranks. So he said, be quiet. Shut up. Don't say nothing until I tell you. And even then, I tell you what to say. And that's why you ought not talk to some folk who call you with a whole lot of mess. Folk who call you talking about the pastor, talking about the auxiliary leaders, talking about your church members, because I've discovered that there's three sides to every story. There's your side, there's my side, and somewhere in the middle is the real truth. And most of the time, they only have one side of the story. Stop these folk from calling you with mess and idle gossip. Naomi and Ruth are faced with seemingly insurmountable odds. They have a 7 to 10 day journey. They must cross the Jordan, go up an elevation of at least 10,000 feet, but they're trying to get to Bethlehem, the place of praise. They're determined to go whatever it is they have to go through to get back to Bethlehem, a 7 to 10 day journey through the Jordan River, up an elevation of at least 2,000 feet, and all of this to get back to a place of praise. Y'all gonna get it in a minute. It's not an easy journey. It's a long walk, 7 to 10 days, through the Jordan River. 2 Kings tell us that the Jordan was a muddy, nasty river, up at least 2,000 feet in elevation. They are on their way to the house of praise. Y'all still ain't got it yet. If they had talked about it, they probably would have talked themselves out of it. Listen, don't let nobody talk you out of coming to church. Don't let nobody talk you out of serving the Lord. Don't let nobody talk you into leaving Mount Moriah. If it was that bad, why are they still here? And I've discovered that sometimes, Reverend Washington, people want you to leave the church because you are a threat to them. You're getting more attention than they are. So if I can eliminate what I perceive to be a threat, then I can have the spotlight all by myself. I've never understood folk who all they do is down the pastor, down the church, but they bust the church doors down every Sunday morning. If the pastor's that bad, if the church is that bad, I'm going to find somewhere else to go. But they leave Moab. They walk 7 to 10 days through a muddy, stinky, nasty Jordan River up at least 2,000 feet in elevation in order to get to Bethlehem, the place of praise. Now listen, I don't want y'all to tear this place up this morning. But tell your neighbor, you just don't know what I went through this week to get back to the house of praise. Now tell your other neighbor, with all I've been through this week, I should have stayed home. But I'm here because I realized it was God that brought me through it. Now one last time, tell your neighbor behind you, there's no way in hell, with all I've been through this week, I was staying home. I had to make my way to the house of praise. Now, since you've been through what you've been through in order to get here, why don't you go on and give God some praise? I mean, this is the place of praise, isn't it? Then you ought to do what you came here to do, and that is to praise Him for bringing you through another week. Give God some praise. God will deliver you through your praise. Anybody want to be delivered? Then you ought to praise Him. He inhabits the praises of His people. The more you call Him, the better you feel. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noonday, Jesus in the midnight hour. Anybody ever call Him? When they left Bethlehem of Judah, they left God's praise. Sisters, don't lose your praise. Lose your man, but don't lose your praise. Brothers, don't lose your praise. Lose your woman, but don't lose your praise. Lose some weight, but don't lose your praise. Lose some so-called friends, but don't lose your praise. God will bless you because He inhabits your praise. He lives in your praise. When they left Bethlehem, they left their praise. Not only did they leave their praise, but when they left Bethlehem, they left God's presence. While they are in Moab, God visited Bethlehem. While they are in Moab, God has turned it around in Bethlehem. Don't leave Bethlehem too quickly. Don't run to Moab too quickly, because while you're in Moab, God is blessing in Bethlehem. Y'all hear what I said? Listen, you can fool around with the devil and be in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. God is blessing in Bethlehem. What you doing in Moab? God is opening doors in Bethlehem. Why are you hanging out in Moab? Told you last week that in order to get to Bethlehem, they had to go up 2,000 feet. In order to get up there, they had to leave down there. And for most of us, the problem is we want to be up there and hold on to what's down here at the same time. How many know you can't be in two places at one time? That's an old song. Somebody remembers that, don't you? You can't be in two places at one time. You've got to leave down here in order to get up there. Stop God asking to bless what you are doing and learn how to do what God is blessing. I believe I said something there. Stop asking God to bless what you are doing and learn how to do what God is blessing. And we learn how to do what God is blessing. He'll show up with His presence. When they left Bethlehem, they left their praise. When they left Bethlehem, she left God's presence. But when she left Bethlehem, she left God's provisions. Because you know, Bethlehem has a twofold meaning. Not only does it mean praise, but it also means house of bread. That's provision. That's daily bread. That's Jehovah Jireh. That's blessing. That's God showering bread. And you hanging around in Moab. Well, let me talk to some more about it in here today. When the sermon is over, you better run down the aisle, because there's blessings in the house of bread. Can I get a witness in here today? Can somebody be a witness today that since I met Jesus, God has done some miraculous things in my life. The blessing that I didn't even expect. God has opened doors that I didn't even know were closed. God has made a way And I've discovered there's joy at the house of bread. There's peace at the house of bread. There is deliverance at the house of bread. Don't let the devil fool you into thinking you can get God's best from God's without God's blessings. They're coming home the hard way. Got to walk 7 to 10 days. Got to cross the muddy, stinky Jordan River, climb up an elevation of at least 2,000 feet by themselves to get back to where they should have never left. Naomi had no control over leaving in the first place. She lived in a male-dominated society that whatever the man said, that's what she did. She left God's praise. She left God's presence. She left God's provision. And I've often heard this passage read at weddings and used in wedding ceremonies, the word that Ruth said to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to cease from my following after you. For where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your God shall be my God. But what if you marry a Muslim? What if you marry a Jehovah's Witness? It's some sweet words, but listen, if your God is not the God of peace, if your God is not the God of patience, if your God is not the God that loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son, I don't want to follow your God. If your God can't pick me up when I fall down, I don't want to follow your God. If your God can't save me when I'm on my way to hell, I don't want to follow your God. When she left Bethlehem, she left God's praise. Now she's going back to give God praise. She left God's presence. Now she's going back to God's presence. She left God's provision. Now she's going back to God's provision. And now finally, she gets around her people. She gets around God's people. Now that's a good thing and a bad thing. Y'all watch me. I need some. Come here, Reverend Adam. Stand on this side. Come here, stand on this side, Reverend Neil. I need some young, strong fellas to serve as bodyguards because of what I'm about to say. I got a choir stand full of women up here. I gotta be careful. The text says, when they get close to Bethlehem, they come out to meet them. Look at it when you get home. It's in the text. The text says, they said, is this Naomi? The phrase they said is a feminine term. I did my homework on this, y'all. They said, it's women gossiping. It's women sneering. It's women look down their sanctimonious nose. It's women who act like they've never been impotent. It's women trying to pretend that they are all that because they're not in trouble. It's women looking down their nose at two other women. And the most hurtful women in the world are women in the church. They messy, they gossip, they criticize, they sneer, they pull one another down, they laugh at each other, they pretend, they are hypocrites, they say one thing in your face and something else behind your back. You mean to tell me this is Naomi? Girl, what happened to you? I think I'm all right now. I'm all right. And what Naomi says sounds like she's complaining. What Naomi says sounds like a complaint. And she lays her complaint at God's feet. And the only reason God puts up with her complaints is because God knows that she's taking him seriously. And there are some people like me who have gone to God's feet and complained. Why, God? Am I going through all of this? Why don't you send somebody to help me with my mama and my daddy? Why did you take my child? I need some honest folk in here today who've complained to the Lord. Why did you break my heart? Why did my husband leave me? Why am I the only one left in my family? Why, God? Am I talking to anybody in here today? We bring that to God. And God doesn't get upset, because when you complain, God knows you are taking him seriously. Can I prove it? Jacob said, I ain't going to let you go until you bless me. Job said, though he slay me, yet will my trust put my trust in him all the days of my appointed time. I'm going to wait right here until my change come. Habakkuk would say, though there be no fruit on the vine, there be no cattle in the stall, yet will I rejoice in the God of my salvation. Naomi said, don't call me Naomi. That's not who I am anymore. When I left here, I was young and pretty. I was fine. I was 36, 24, 36. My hair was black and wavy. When I left here, I was a brick house, but I'm coming home the hard way. I'm about through, but she's not complaining. She's testifying. She's not grumbling. She's witnessing. She's not mad. She's giving God glory. She said, I went out full, but now I'm coming home empty. God, everything you put in me, I already gave it out. Everything you deposited in my life, I emptied it out. My husband's gone. My boys are gone. My youth is gone. My joy is gone. I'm empty. And the only reason I'm back is because I know where to come get refilled. Anybody come here empty today? I mean, you barely made it. You were running on fumes, but tell your neighbor, thank God I made it. I came to get refilled. That was the wrong neighbor. They didn't shout. Tell your other neighbor, I came here empty, but thank God. Fill my cup. Fill it up, Lord. Let it overflow. Bread of heaven. Bread of heaven, feed me. Till I won't no more. All right, let me cut across the field and bid y'all good afternoon. She gave God everything. God, you gave it to me, and I gave it back to you. God, I don't have nothing left. I left you a fool, but I'm coming home empty. I have nothing left. God, this, all I have is this little pagan girl, this little Moabite girl, and that's all I have left of what you made a deposit in. I left here full, but I'm coming home empty. Nobody left but me and Ruth. And now, God, I'm giving Ruth to you. I need you to do what only you can do. And here we are now back where we started. And I need you, God, to make a way for Ruth and I. Look at God making a way. While they're walking 7 to 10 days, while they're crossing the dirty, nasty, stinky Jordan River, while they're climbing over 2,000 feet in elevation, while they're not talking to one another, God has a Boaz ready to handle what they need. Because when you get to chapter 2, Ruth is now in the field. And while in the field, God lets Boaz get a good look at how fine and pretty Ruth was. And Boaz tells the reapers, save some harvest in the corner of the field and take care of Ruth. Ruth goes home, tells Naomi that a good-looking man named Boaz left some grain in the field. Naomi said, come here, girl, let me tell you how to get that man. I said, put some perfume on. Put some makeup on your face. Go to Victoria's Secret and get the right outfit. In chapter 2, Ruth is in the field. But in chapter 3, Ruth is at his feet. And if you trust God, he'll take you out of the field and put you at his feet. And by the time We get to chapter 4. She's no longer in the field. She's no longer at his feet. But now she's in the family. And the reason she's in the family and no longer in the field is because of Naomi's faith. When you trust an old woman like Naomi, she can help you to see something. Oh, I wish I had some Naomis in the house today who can tell someone, young woman, that if you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. I've got to leave you now. But Ruth listened to Naomi. She left the field and got at his feet. She left his feet and got in the family. She married Boaz. They had a boy named Obed. Obed had a boy named Jesse. Jesse had a boy named David. And David is the ancestor of Jesus Christ. And I've got to leave you now, but I'm so glad that I'm in the family. Is there anybody here that know you're in the family? Help me testify. Tell your neighbor, I used to be in the field. I used to be at the devil's feet. But now I'm in the Lord's family. Can't nobody take me out of the family. If you know you're in the family, why don't you stand on your feet? If you know you're in the family, why don't you wave your hand? If you know you're in the family, take your neighbor by the hand. Say, neighbor, you don't know it, but we're kinfolk. We're part of the same family. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Glory. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God I'm in the family. Ain't he all right? If you're here today, if you're here today, maybe somebody's left you on the outside. Maybe your family has disowned you. Maybe you don't have any place to turn. There's somebody that's waiting to adopt you. The word says, Abba, Father. Listen, you don't have to clean up. You don't have to straighten up. Come as you are. God will do the cleaning up. God will do the straightening up. If you're here today, you ought to join the family. I don't care how many have come, there's still some room for more. You ought to join the family today. You don't have to be outside. You can be in the family. The doors of the church are open. Would you come today? By letter, Christian experience, as a candidate for baptism.